Now, there's a new report that has just been released by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which says that militia groups across the country are on the rise again. I've asked Motok. I just combined his first and last names. I've asked Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center to join us today to talk about this new report. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
You know, in between the time I asked you to come on the show and the time you're actually here today, I saw that there was another incident in Georgia where somebody painted a swastika outside a congressman's office.
Yeah, it was quite something that was discovered, I think, yesterday morning, Congressman Scott's office. And this, of course, followed his trying, I think, essentially to reason with some of the protesters at one of these town hall meetings over health care issues.
Yep. So when I saw that, I thought to myself, okay, we've always had hate speech in America, but your report says it's not just hate speech, but actually militia groups that are on the rise again, like they were kind of in the 90s, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really is remarkable because the militias more or less came and went beginning around 1994. By the turn of the millennium, there were still some militias, but they were, you know, very anemic, and the whole movement had been reduced to almost nothing. You know, and it's worth remembering, and the militia movement was really animated more than anything else by real hatred of the federal government, which they saw as a part of a sort of nefarious New World Order plot to force Americans into a one-world government and send good patriots off to concentration camps and so on. You know, that came and went, but it has been remarkable in the last year or so to see how these groups are reforming, completely new groups in many cases, and how their ideology, at least, seems to be getting out there very far and wide. And, you know, I think another interesting point about the militia movement today as it's being reborn is that it, in my opinion at least, has a much more racial angle than it did in the 90s. And that, of course, is because, you know, for these people, the primary enemy is the federal government. And in this case, the face of the federal government is, of course, black. It's a black man. So, you know, we're seeing much more racial feeling in this movement. And, you know, there's a lot of talk, for instance, about 2042, the year that the U.S. Census Bureau has predicted that whites will lose their majority in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been quite something to see.
What do these militia groups aim to do?
Well, it's a hard question to answer because, of course, they're operating on the basis of completely nonsensical conspiracy theories, you know, that there is a New World Order, that there are elite conspirators who are trying to force all freedom-loving peoples, you know, into some kind of sort of fascistic one-world government. So, you know, what they're trying to fight, you know, they're like Don Quixote, right? I mean, they're tilting at windmills, but the way it spells it, it works out in concrete terms, is that they see the federal government and all its kind of agents and minions as the absolute enemy of the people, and very much as an entity that is perfectly willing to murder American citizens. You know, the whole thing, I think, you know, I'm not suggesting that the people at town hall meetings are connected to militias or in militias. I don't know that at all. But a lot of what is being said out there is very similar to the ideology of the militias. So that, you know, when you hear people, including Sarah Palin, talk about death panels, right, that the health care reforms will mean, you know, that the government literally is going to force your grandmother and grandfather to die early, you know, those are the kinds of ideas that animated the original militia movement. The government is perfectly willing to murder your relatives, to murder American citizens in order to save a few bucks. You know, back then it was more like the government is perfectly willing to murder all 168 victims of the Oklahoma City federal building bombing because, as they thought back then, as they theorized, the building was blown up merely to soften up the American people, frighten them so that they would be willing to accept very harsh anti-terrorism legislation.
When, in fact, of course, we know that it was Timothy McVeigh who did that, and it was his connection to the militia movement that was responsible for that and was kind of a, maybe you could call it a culmination of the militia movement of the 90s. Do you think we're close to a parallel event now here in the 21st century?
Well, I think that we are at a point which is not quite as white-hot as the movement was in, you know, shortly before the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, the fury out there at that point was quite amazing. I was a reporter at the time working for USA Today and saw a great deal of this in the field. That said, we're getting close. There are a lot of factors that are kind of converging to make people angrier and angrier, and I think, as I suggested earlier, that we're seeing a reflection of that in the kinds of incredibly angry comments made about Obama and the Obama administration, the idea that they're, you know, all wicked socialists intent on some sort of secret plan to destroy all the rest of us.
I know that there are a lot of people in this country who this year have bought guns. A lot of them are being told that they should buy guns because you better get them now before the government takes them away, which, of course, is nowhere near to being close to the truth. No one has ever suggested, well, I can't say no one, no one responsible and in power is suggesting that guns are going to be taken away. And even those of us like myself who've never even shot a gun or owned a gun would stand up and say, no, 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 the government can't do that. It would never, ever, ever, ever happen in this country. And yet people in this country are driven by fear and rumor and conspiracy theories to a level that, frankly, Mark, amazes me sometimes. Does it amaze you?
Yeah, well, let me say, that's absolutely true, what you just said. I mean, I think it is really remarkable. And, you know, let's remember that it was fear of gun control. And Clinton did pass a bill limiting some semi-automatic weapons that, you know, drove a very similar collecting of guns and ammunition in the 90s. You know, and, you know, one of the actors and the sort of wicked actors, in my opinion, in this has been the National Rifle Association. Back in the 90s, I think people will remember that the NRA described federal law enforcement agents as, quote, jackbooted thugs, unquote. In other words, they were Nazis who were ready to break down your doors and, you know, kill your wife and children. This last fall, just as the election was getting very close, the NRA started a campaign. Really, it was firearms manufacturers who were helping to get members, to new members to join the NRA, the slogan of which was "Prepare for the Storm." And, you know, to me, that is really pretty incendiary stuff, you know. Not much more, not, you know, no explanation is given what is the storm. But, you know, essentially the NRA seems to be saying, you know, hell is coming to earth soon. You better arm yourselves up to the teeth or else.
Talking with Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center here on the Big 550 KTRS. We talk about the militia movement of the 90s, and the big difference between then and now has been the explosive growth of the internet, which I'm sure these groups are using to spread their lies.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's very definitely true. And as several of the law enforcement agents we spoke to for our report pointed out, you know, it wasn't so easy back in the days of Tim McVeigh to collect the information needed, the expertise needed to build an ammonium nitrate bomb, a so-called ANFO bomb. Now that kind of thing is absolutely simple. I mean, you know, a 12-year-old kid can figure out that stuff after 10 minutes on the Internet. You know, and it's not only criminal activity that is kind of that the Internet has helped flourish, but, of course, any kind of organizing or communication. You know, I mean, these groups tend to be very small and in the past relatively isolated, but it's incredibly easy for them to communicate, to make plans and organize rallies or whatever else it is they do, trainings and so on, over the Internet.
Yeah, you know, when people say, oh, come on, these are crazy fringe groups, what can they do? My answer is two words, Al-Qaeda, crazy fringe group, look what they can do.
Yeah, I think you're right, although I think that's half of it. In other words, you know, one half of it is criminal violence. And I think most Americans do not realize how many domestic terrorist plots came out of the militia world, the kind of anti-government extremist world in the 90s. The reason most people don't know that is that 90-plus percent of those plots were, in fact, stopped by law enforcement, which was really on high alert after the Oklahoma City bombing. So, you know, there is that threat, obviously, of criminal violence. And then beyond that, I think that the effect that these groups have is that is really noxious and affects all of us in a way that criminal violence doesn't, is the way The propaganda from these groups makes its way into the political mainstream and distorts the debate completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, the debate on immigration, you know, instead of having any kind of rational debate about what is a good level of immigration for this country, you know, what is best and fairest all around, you know, instead what we're really talking about, thanks to the likes of Lou Dobbs and people like that, is, you know, why are Mexicans engaged in a secret plan to reconquer the American Southwest?
Yeah.
Why are they bringing leprosy to our country? You know, these things are utterly untrue. You know, in the same way that the militia groups and their sympathizers will say, and in this case it was Glenn Beck on Fox, will say things like, you know, well, perhaps the FEMA is operating a secret series of concentration camps out there in which to imprison good American patriots. You know, it's quite amazing. So the point is that, you know, it prevents us as a democracy from moving forward in any kind of rational way, just as we're seeing now with health care, right? I mean, can we have a reasonable debate about how to fix the health care system? Apparently not. Apparently we've got to talk about death panels instead.
Mark, when you've looked into these groups and recent news events, do you see the tentacles of any of these groups reaching into the story out of Pittsburgh last week or the one at the Holocaust Museum a couple of months ago or any others?
Well, it's not organized groups, I think, that are behind these events, and there have been a remarkable number of terrorist events since Obama's election. You know, I don't know of any instance in which there's really a definite group link. Although a guy who allegedly murdered two Okaloosa County, Florida sheriff's deputies in May was reportedly trying to join a militia. But, you know, what can be said about all of these people, the shooter in Pittsburgh, Richard Poplawski, the shooter in Florida, the Holocaust Museum shooter, the murderer of George Tiller, the guy who was building a dirty bomb in Maine because he was angry at Obama. All of these things seem to be very closely related to anger over the election of Obama, of a black man to the White House. So, you know, and that is, I think, a very important aspect of how the militia movement today is different, as we discussed a little already.
What is the response of law enforcement to your report? Are you telling them something they don't already know?
Not really. You know, the reality is that most law enforcement officials on the ground, or certainly a good many of them who work in this field, I think are quite aware of this. They've been making their own reports, generally classified or at least not public, you know, and there's been quite a lot about it. You may remember that in April, the Department of Homeland Security wrote a report talking about the resurgence of the radical right. They weren't speaking specifically about militia groups, but about hate groups and kind of allied groups. The report was leaked, and DHS was absolutely pilloried by the right wing of the Republican Party and the Rush Limbaughs of the world and so on. You know, what they were saying was, you know, this report is an attack on all conservatives. It says, you know, it makes all conservatives seem like potential Timothy McVeighs, anyone who opposes abortion, anyone who wants lower levels of immigration. And, you know, the reality is, for anyone who actually read the report, that was completely and utterly false. The DHS report was a perfectly sober and reasonable assessment of what was actually going on out there on the ground, you know, and yet Secretary Napolitano, you know, ended up taking it back and saying, you know, it was a bad report and so on.
You know what I find funny about that, Mark, is that many of these people who are saying what they're saying based on what they've heard about something are the same ones who are lambasting members of Congress because they didn't read the entire bill. Why don't you read the entire bill? These people don't read anything.
All they do
is traffic in rumor.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, you asked before, you know, did I find it amazing, you know, the sort of conspiracy theories that these people believe in. You know, not anymore. I mean, you know, I have lived in this world for so long that, you know, you realize after a while the incredible extent to which people are motivated by complete conspiracy theories, which, as you say, are really, they're very easy things to adopt. You don't really have to read anything or study anything. You know, you take a glance at a few websites and listen to a few radio show hosts, and you're there.
Yep.
It's really something. I mean, you know, the one thing I guess to say about all this is that Richard Hofstadter, a famous historian, and wrote back, I think, in the 50s or 60s, a very famous essay, The Paranoid Style in American Politics. And he really was the first to plainly point out how very much Americans are taken with conspiracy theories, I think more than most countries.
Well, let me quote a great writer, Ray Davies of the Kinks, who once wrote, "Paranoia will destroy you."
Yeah, right.
If we keep it up.
I remember the line.
Last thing I got to ask you about here. Tell me about the age of the people involved here. I know we're talking about white militia organizations. Are they able to recruit young Americans, meaning teens and 20s, into their group? Is it grumpy old men? Who are these guys?
Look, you know, studies that were done back in the 90s of people who joined the militias, real academic studies, found that it was a surprisingly broad array of people. It was not, as one might think, you know, people at the kind of very bottom of the working class who were angry and disenfranchised and not doing well at life. You know, the movement had its fair number of doctors and lawyers, although it wasn't thick with them. So, you know, I think that is very likely true, that it's a relatively broad demographic. However, one thing that is certainly true is that we're talking about rural people. You know, the militia movement is not a phenomenon of either the coasts or of the cities. It's really something that has sprung up and lives in the countryside.
When we hear people in this country talking about revolution, makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, having lived through all sorts of positive social revolutions in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and recent years. I think that they're not talking about the same kind of revolution I am. They're talking about violent revolution, and I'm glad that we have people who are keeping an eye on them. Mark, I appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it, too.
Mark Potok from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has just put out a report on the rise of militia groups in the United States of America. It's the Big 550 KTRS.